Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
A Listener Production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to me top laner, Hamish.
That's me.
I went to the bottom lane once. Didn't care for it. Straight back home to the top lane for me.
Ahoy to me jungler, Jack.
Oh, I do spend a lot of time out there.
It's tough. You guys are never going to get this.
10-pin bowling. I'm lane one and I can't be moved. Jack's working the shoes. The jungle.
Some sort of high ropes course.
It is. There's top lane, jungler, mid laner and bot laner. We are positions in the League of Legends computer game.
Okay.
That a lot of people follow. No, we're not getting
that. I'm so glad we didn't spend the next 5 minutes trying to guess that.
Yes. And so...
Well, explain the lanes to us.
Apparently the top lane is the main lane you send your minions to battle or something like that. But that's as far as I got with caring about this topic. But people will be able to explain it to you in the street if you've on the wrong
that's okay. But I know a lot of people play that game, and so right now we seem very relatable to them.
Yes. Ahoy to Curtis as well, who went to hamishnerdy.com and used the very easy-to-use upload system there for audio. Sorry.
Hi, Hamish and Andy and Jack. Hope you're all well. Curtis here, day 6. So God just created us.
Wow.
I can't see you guys, though. There's only one guy and a chick over there. I'll go say g'day later. There is a serpent. He keeps beckoning me towards a tree. So I'll have a look at that in a little while. I'm sure that's all fine. The apples do look particularly tempting. I think it's a day off tomorrow. Yeah, God's had a big week. It's been busy. Lots happened. So just uploading this now. Hopefully you get it soon, and I'll see you around the garden. Cheers, boys.
Interesting move from Curtis to insert himself as a mystery character in the Bible, because he does Adam. See Adam and Eve, yeah. So he wasn't Adam.
Yeah.
So,
well, someone had to write the story.
That's true.
So
God created Adam, Eve, and a scribe.
What was the deal with the serpent? I don't...
Tempting Eve to the tree to eat the apple.
Right.
And that was the one rule that God gave him.
Don't eat an apple.
Don't eat
Which
an
is
apple.
One of the rules we them... get now very regularly. Keep the doctor away.
Eat the apple.
Eat the apple.
I think there was a certain level of the floodgates opened once that apple was eaten.
Yeah. But you could pick a worst food it wasn't health-based.
Yeah, it would have been easier. I mean, but you got to remember at the time of writing, they didn't have vending machines or don't go to Papa Gino's pizza store. Not good pizza. That's the only thing we ask you.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve had a huge night. God, I'm starving. There's only one thing open. You know, who's going to blame them? That is Lisa Papa Gino's.
Hey, last week on the show, there was something that shocked us. An alert listener had written in saying that the new Rexona deodorant smelt a lot like the fragrance Andy by Hamish. This was us during the testing last week.
Oh. Oh, my God.
I think they're almost exactly the same.
It has a unmistakably similar tang.
Well, you did the legal work for Andy by Hamish.
Mm-hmm.
What level of surety that this scent couldn't be replicated? How trademarked is it?
Maximum.
So there you have it. We think that the scent is very, very close. So we stated last week that we're going to get a good trademark lawyer up to discuss whether you can trademark a scent. Joining us now, Ham, our trademark lawyer. You probably haven't met him as much as I have because you didn't attend as many of the meetings.
I'm on a need-to-know basis. And so far, everything seems to have gone well. Stephen, ahoy.
G'day. How are you?
Very good, mate. Thank you for taking the time, and thank you, Andy, for paying for this if there are fees to be incurred.
And thank you for agreeing to a 200% surcharge. It's very kind of you.
Stephen, the one thing we didn't cover when we were talking about different trademarks after Hamish and I found that there was a lot of false merchandise going on, and that's how you and I ended up chatting. The one thing we didn't cover off was, can you trademark a smell? That's the first thing I want to ask you.
Yes.
Great.
We figured you should be able to. How is it actually written down?
Well, the law was changed in about 1996, and it said you could trademark smells, although the word the law uses is scents, shapes, colours and sounds. And with any trademark, you need to be able to represent it graphically in the sense that you need to be able to describe it so that someone else knows whether they are infringing your trademarks.
So colours, what would be famous colours? Have you ever worked on any of those?
Like Tiffany's blue is trademarked.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, well, even more importantly, Cadbury Purple.
Cadbury Purple. Yeah, didn't Cadbury Purple have a go at Daryl Lee for their purple?
It did indeed, and Daryl Lee eventually threw in the towel and we won that.
Oh, you were part of that one?
I worked on that case many years ago.
So, Haim, you were in charge, people who don't know this story, but you were in charge of Andy by Hamish. You bought out a fragrance without telling me.
You signed the contract.
Well, you made me sign it. Well, here's another question then, Stephen.
We don't need to worry about this.
Hamish said, can you just sign here? And I did.
It was Andy.
Thank you.
Oh, it sounds like I've got you. It was an A4 piece of cardboard, Stephen, with a small cutout in it. So
were you sober?
He was. He was of sound body and mind, Your Honour, and I can attest to that. He then signed through the cardboard. I said, just trust me, it's a good thing on the other side. He signed through. I lifted up the cardboard to reveal the contract where he relinquished his name and image for me to mark it as a fragrance.
Well, then he's liable.
Yes. Damn it.
Got him.
Do you have many clients that came in that accidentally signed through the heavily redacted stencil?
Not many tried that one.
No. Okay, so that was good. So I do have you tied up that way.
So then with the scent, what should Hamish have done to have made sure that we are protected?
This is your out, because he couldn't have done it. In other words, to try to protect the scent of a aftershave or a perfume as a trademark would probably be impossible, because the trademark is actually the product. In other words, it's the scent. And it's very hard to register a smell where you're not really using it as a trademark.
Oh.
In other words, to register something as a trademark, it has to be used as a trademark. So you weren't really using the scent of your perfume products as a trademark. That was just the scent or the smell that people applied to themselves.
I'm very confused.
I'm not, but I have a pretty sharp legal mind. But go again for Andy.
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
When Cadbury tried to register its purple colour, the trademarks office said, well, we know you've used hundreds of millions of samples, you've sold hundreds of millions of blocks of chocolate coloured purple, but that doesn't mean you're using purple as a trademark. That's just the colour of your blocks.
Okay.
Ah. And we went back and said to the trademarks office, no. Colour purple is actually the corporate livery of Cadbury. You look at their trucks, they're painted purple. You look at the representatives' ties, they're painted purple. Their notepaper has got a purple stripe across the top. So they've actually adopted purple as an indicia of the company.
That's what I was trying to tell Andy.
As a
trademark. An indicia. And he was going, doesn't fit in Wordle, too long. Hey, welcome to my world, Steve.
Yeah.
So what we're saying, though, is because Andy by Hamish wasn't the scent wasn't the main selling point, even though we were saying it's a smart casual fragrance for men.
Well, it wasn't the selling point. It's not a selling point question. It's what are people how do people identify it as this, what the source of the product is? And they look at Andy and Hamish. That's the source. It's the two guys who we love. Mm. Most of us do anyway.
That's your legal opinion. Thank you.
So that's the trademark Andy and Hamish. And if you had a picture or a nice photo on the front of the bottles or on the boxes, that would have been an indicator of source.
Right, yeah, but not
but the actual scent itself.
Not the chemical makeup of the scent.
No, because you weren't selling that as a trademark.
So because we weren't selling the scent as the trademark thing, do you think the geniuses at Rexona knew this? Mm. So they knew, look, as soon as we release this new coconut fragrance, this could kick off a scent war, the likes of which we haven't seen since the Lince Africa Wars of 1994.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
We've got Hamish and Andy here because they haven't registered it. We've got them. It's like when, did you ever see the Flaming Moe episode of The Simpsons? And
I watch it regularly.
The guys from Tipsy McStagger are trying to get the recipe for Flaming Moe. Moe won't give it to them. They simply pour a Flaming Moe into a tube that goes into a briefcase and they go and analyze the contents of the Flaming Moe anyway. Mm. And they steal the chemical makeup. Do you think Rexona possibly, not definitely, but possibly did that to our scent?
I would not want to accuse Rexona of doing anything. But let me say that another party, be it Rexona or anyone else, could have reverse engineered your scent quite legally.
Say no more.
They could do it quite legally.
Quite legally. Say less of that.
Thank you very much for joining us, buddy. Really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. I enjoyed the time. Take care, guys. Thank see you.
Oh, my God.
Haim, last week on the show, we talked to Amelia. She submitted a special skill, hamishnandy.com. You can do that by heading there and just telling us what you think you're the best at in the world but are not recognised correctly.
This is the place to do it, Ando. And I feel like we've had some amazing ones lately.
Mm.
Just great. You're really hitting good areas for the skills.
Amelia's special skill, she can poke someone in the belly button through clothes, identify where someone's belly button is. Mm. 100% of the time.
That's what she said. First time every time. And we had a few cracks at this before she came in, and we're about to hear the audio of Amelia's attempt. But I will say this, when someone gets it, it's so intimate. Because you're talking to someone, and then suddenly they are, in a way, inside you. You know.
If you've got an innie, absolutely.
Yes. And even this free, Audis is just as sensitive. But I know what you mean. But you hit a belly button just right, and we don't really know what it's connected to back there, do we? Because it's a relic.
Yeah.
But it has that like electric.
It's got the feeling of a secret switch, which is going to turn a bookcase around, and you can go.
But the nerves seem to run to the bottom of your stomach.
Yeah.
Your ass, your feet, the back of your neck, like they run everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a powerful trick to have.
And we caught up with Amelia to put this skill to test. It's exciting. Amelia, welcome.
Thank you.
Amelia, it's an honour to have you here. Now, you are someone that has a natural hate, I assume, of umbilical cords because they are standing in the way of the thing you want to touch, which, of course, is the belly button.
Or the navel, if you
will. Or the navel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, it's true for the medical term. So whilst when babies are born, they still have their umbilical cord on for a few days.
You can't get in
there. That must infuriate you.
It does. Yeah, I hate it. I want it gone. Yeah.
And when you hear it drop, because when you hear the noise of that little bit of skin hitting the nursery floor.
I go, I'm on.
Here we go. Yeah. I'm on. You're mine now. Now you've got what I want and I can touch it with the parents' permission.
Amelia, we talked about the skill and how it came about. It's going to be a 3-from-3 situation required. Is that what we're saying, Haim?
Yeah.
Jack, Hamish and I. You're a little shorter in stature.
Does that give you a better look at most belly buttons?
So I haven't really practiced on quite tall people like yourselves, so it will be a bit of a challenge, but I do feel my height is an advantage for me when looking for the belly button.
We were having a little go before you got here, and the technique we were using was sort of finger ready. Do you go finger ready?
Yeah,
finger ready. And then we were sort of like one step in and almost what's that? Is that a lunge? A parry, a thrust, kind of like a point straight in. Is that how you do it?
It is, yeah. It's probably not as...
Do it on my hand. Can you just mime it on the hand?
Okay, so...
That's what I like. I just wanted to make sure it was a confident, fluid movement, not like a...
Not
a feeling around the dark.
That seemed like there was a fair bit of pressure on your hand there.
You'll be able to handle it, mate. You do Pilates. She won't touch your spine.
Okay, just wanted to know what we're up against. Now, we think that we should stand in order where Hamish is last.
Okay.
Because we've all looked at each other's belly buttons. We think Hamish's is the hardest.
Okay.
Yes.
Jack thinks it's flat, like flatter, like yeah. peeking through a letterbox.
Yeah, like Ned Kelly
filling
your belly button.
So that is a little bit harder. It's a bit more of a challenge. And the innie is the easiest.
Yes. Well, Jack will be first. Because
mine is an innie, but it's also it's hiding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of asleep.
It's squinting.
It's squinting. It's squinting. Jack's easier, so he'll go first. You can fit your whole fist in Jack.
It's not that big.
Yes,
it's
Jack is a salad bowl.
Woo! Yeah, exactly.
You're going to jump and perch in it for a bit.
So we'll put him first.
Amelia, I got one other thing to add. There's been some resistance again from the boys on this one, but I think 3 out of 3 is what you're going for.
Yeah.
However, I would like to for one of us to have the quote-unquote golden button, right, which we'll reveal at the end.
Okay.
The golden button's worth 2. And we'll find out at the end if you got, say you only got 2 from 3,
yeah.
but we then reveal one of them was the golden button,
okay.
You will have 3 from 3. And I think that makes it more exciting for the fans at home.
Yeah, okay.
I think that adds quite a bit of entertainment value.
Normally when we add the excitement things, I'm worried the length.
Yep.
But
this is fine.
But arguing with you about it will make it longer. So
that's also my tactic. I think having a golden button in play is exciting. I think it should be the person we discussed.
Okay.
Remember before Amelia came in? We did mention someone.
I think we go out on the rooftop and just work out exactly
who. Oh, okay.
One second, Amelia, we'll be back.
Sorry, the time was of the essence. All right, who wants the golden button? Now that we've mentioned my squinter, I was thinking it would be me because we talked about that. But
maybe that's too obvious.
But
also she's going to be trying to get it every time, so it doesn't really matter which one it is.
No, but I was thinking Jack. Instincts normally I want to be, but no. Jack, because she's so lovely. Jack's got the easiest button.
Guys, it's not that big. I don't know what you're talking about.
Massive.
It's a pretty big button,
yeah, exactly.
You know in Star Wars, the thing they throw Luke Skywalker into, that sand monster in the desert near Jabba the Hutt's house? It's sort of a bit like
that. Yeah, exactly. You probably don't need to take a water bowl for Luna, your dog, when you go. You can just lie down,
collect rainwater.
Anyway, I thought, Jack, just to give her a real fighting shot at it.
I'm too hard. Jack's too easy. Do we make it Andy? Do we make it fair?
Also, if it's me, I feel like it's revealed too quickly. Or do we reveal at the end?
Reveal at the end. That's the fun for the fans.
But also, I forgot which part was fun. You're right. When we talk about the fun aspect of it, as soon as she misses Jax, she's missed the double.
She's out. Yeah, so
we should make it. No, Hamish. Like, it's actually far more exciting.
Well, then point to Jack now, because he just pointed at me.
He's just gesturing as if he's talking to you. He's just gesturing.
Too much at me. Give something to Jack.
For those playing along at home, Amelia could see the boys through the window, and they were worried that pointing at each other was giving away who the golden button would be.
It looks unnatural, like he wouldn't ever gesture towards me.
Okay. Well, let's go with Jack then.
Okay. But me.
Yes. Okay. Let's go with Jack. I'm winking.
Okay. No, but is it me? Because I can hear you. So say the thing it is, but gesture the thing it isn't.
Okay. Let's go with Amy.
Okay. That's better.
Well done.
Good thing we're on a schedule.
Again, for those playing along at home, if you're still confused after all that pointing, winking and talking, the golden button is Hamish.
We've decided who gets the golden button.
Okay.
Really easy.
Jack, you're over here.
Okay.
Can we pull our T-shirt down so it doesn't display too much of the curvature of the stomach or...?
So preferably you'd have hands by your sides.
We can do that.
Okay. Are you happy with this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
great. That's perfect. And can I stipulate that if it lands on the edge of the belly button and slides in, that's a win.
Rim shots illegal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like basketball. It's basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So do you keep your finger there and we slide the top up around it?
Usually it's just the honor system.
Honesty. Oh, okay,
if you say it's in.
Yep. Okay, great.
Okay, good luck.
Amelia, this is really sizing her.
Here she goes. She's sizing Jack up. Triangulating. She's looking toes, head, nose.
2 paces away.
Nipples.
She's starting her work in. Jack?
A little off.
How off?
Off. You're close, but you're not
Hang on. Keep it right there. I
Oh, it's me. It was right there.
Yeah, it just felt a little. It felt a little
just
high.
Off.
It's not him.
Should you go again? Because
why?
It felt like it wasn't.
I think we feel something in our belly buttons. It's okay.
I feel like Jack was unsure, but okay.
I just didn't want to let you down.
Oh, thank you.
It didn't feel like it was in. It didn't feel like it was in there.
That's all right. We don't know whether Jack was the.
This is
double
why.
Over.
This is the excitement of the golden.
Okay, one. I'm going to drop my arms down alongside me. You guys have to take over commentary.
Just for people at home wondering if you can see the outline of Annie's stomach fit t-shirt, you can't. You have loose fit t-shirts on.
Pants.
Very good t-shirts though. Lost touch the common man this way.
Must be nice to have those for $5.
Sorry.
She's touched.
It's just too
Andy
low.
Andy believes it's too low.
Too low.
Yeah, you were here.
Oh, oh, right. Damn. She's got a false read. She's probably
and I've got a mole just below my belly button, so maybe that's where you're.
That's what I was going to
drawing you like a
formula. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Now, for
honor. Hamish is relaxed.
And Hamish is by far the hardest one. There's hardly any room for a finger to fit.
It's just like a full court shot. Use your littlest finger.
You actually should use the pinky.
Are you natural game?
Yeah.
Aim.
Unfortunately, you are low.
We're sort of there. Very low. Yes.
And
damn.
I was the golden
button. That was fun.
We can see how fun it was. It wasn't the most fun, whereas if you got Andy and got mine, and then I told you I was the golden button, that would have been really fun.
But I think it's the height. I think that's the
issue. That's where yeah, because you were low on everyone. You're not used to belly
button. Do you want to have another go with me on my knees?
Yeah.
What if we,
That's too low though, surely. Should you squat, half squat?
What about, would it work if we faced away and you went round like that? Like you're picking the pocket.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, Mike's our shortest guy.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And then we'll reveal at the end if he was the platinum button.
Mike, get in here quickly.
Could he have the platinum button?
He also has his shirt tucked in, which might be an advantage. All right.
Okay.
Good luck, Amelia.
Actually, we can't say how much the platinum button.
Would you mind just opening the shirt? Is that okay? Yeah, thanks.
Okay, great.
Good luck, Mike.
Just for people at home, Mike didn't take his top off completely because that would have been too easy.
Still has a t-shirt on. Just hands by side,
Just
Mike.
Relax.
Yeah.
Good luck, Mike.
Thank you.
This is more her height, you can see.
She is directly in my belly button.
Wow! And she got the platinum button. She needed 3 to win. The platinum button was worth 2.5. Oh, the highs and lows. The highs and lows, but we got to witness one, didn't we?
Amelia, you can't say that you can do this anymore.
But you did it a bit.
But you can say you have done it.
Yeah.
You can't say that you do it regularly. You haven't won anything, but we'll give you a token of no value. We don't put any value on that whatsoever. But as the rules state, you're welcome to once you've left the building.
Absolutely. And you can put it on your belly and you say things like, oh, it's my bronze button, because after this, golden button will become a thing.
Yes.
People talk about a lot.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you.
Great job. Really good job.
Thanks, Mike.
That's good.
Thanks, Jack.
Good try.
Thank you. Gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
I come to you humbly, I suppose. Come to you for help, for advice, amongst men, man to man.
You've come to the right place.
You are all owners of bodies, wonderful bodies, lovely bodies.
Thank you. I mean, I've got some issues at times.
Yes, yours is a bit of a dud. you know, busted asshole several times.
Yeah. Ruptured urethra.
Yep.
Yeah.
Certainly anything. You seem to have cursed underpants.
shoulder.
Sure, that's true. That happens. But as we've all, you know, as drivers of the human body, it is moisture related.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed, and I get this feedback from Zoe a bit.
You sweat a lot?
You know what? I do know that. That's a Blake condition. Mm-hmm. 2 dance maximum on dance floors. Otherwise, irreparable damage has been done to the thermostat.
One in Thailand, depending on the...
Sure. Outdoor bar, fine. Yes, indoor club in Thailand. If I did more than one dance in a tropical region, I might not stop sweating until I got home.
Mm.
But here's the issue. Showering. After the shower, right? come out of the shower, and quite often I will dry myself and I'll get back to the bedroom. And as I'm putting like undies or something to go to bed, I'll realize I'm not dry. And I'll sometimes get into bed and be like, oh, I've done it again. I've missed. Now I am fast and loose.
So you've missed parts of your body, or are you sweating on that walk?
No. It's wet. Okay. It's shower wet.
Shower wet. Okay.
I'm not that much of a rigorous shower. But I get in bed and Zoe's like, what are you doing? What are you doing, mate? You're not able to dry yourself. Yep. You're 40 years old.
Middle of your back?
I thought I've got a good pattern. So here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to run a simulation here because you don't ever really get taught how to dry yourself. It's just something you pick up, I guess, over time.
Yeah.
Let's run a simulation where all three of us, now obviously you have to use words to describe how we're drying our body. Yep. I think this would serve a purpose too to people that are listening. Probably it's a bit of a secret shame.
Well, I think I'm a very good dryer.
No doubt.
You would be thorough.
I am thorough. Well, you have that little squeegee in the shower. Yeah. So you probably, you don't use that, do you, the scraper?
No.
I bet you
but
do.
But do you want me to show, why don't I say what I'm doing?
I'd like to, let's describe it to people. So for guys out there, and I suppose girls as well, but you know, people that are going, I'm not very good at drying off my body, or I do find I have some wetness left. Shower's off.
First thing I do, towel.
Well, I like to stand. Well, actually, let's go before that. Stand and drain for 5 seconds.
Ooh. Oh, I actually do a sweep. So hand sweep while I'm still in the shower and just try and flick water
already.
Off.
Mm-hmm. Do you know I've got a friend, Mark, who does a jump.
What?
He does a jump.
Yeah,
he
sometimes jump. He'll shake. Yep.
He does it. Okay. No. He did full 2 feet off the ground, Marco. He does a jump.
Well, that's dangerous.
Yes, and after he had his vasectomy, he was really upset because he couldn't jump for a few weeks. He was like, it's ruining my drying routine because I can't do my jump.
I don't think a jump's necessary. That's
what I said to Marco.
For longer hair, the key for me is to, because it's its own wet sponge up the top there, is I'll reel
it's
my hands
towel.
Back. Yeah. And make sure I kind of release as much water from the hair as possible.
So you get the hair wetness out too. So yeah, I'm out. Here we are, we're all standing there, we're all, you know, looking at each other, nodding. Oh, Jack, congrats on the other recipe. And towel in, definitely hair first, because that's your first thing. Like, you've got to eliminate that storage of water up the top.
Hair first, yep.
I will then, I'm just trying to think, I'll then wrap it around my back like a shawl.
Really?
Okay.
Yep,
and
go
and a back and forth movement across, you do the shoulder and the neck.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. I don't.
That's
do
your
that.
Back.
Yeah.
Then I take the towel, bring it around to the front. So I do the top of the chest. Mm-hmm. Then you're going down the arms. You've got both arms. So now you should have both arms, your shoulders, top of your chest, and the top of your back dry.
Right.
Because I'm working from top down.
Yeah. I don't do that.
You don't
work
top
from
down.
Top down. No. I go arm front. Because my hair is always going to continue dripping down the back. So if I do that, it just continues dripping.
Smart.
Which is, and so.
Interesting.
So I leave back almost to last.
This might be where I'm going wrong because I believe I've got everything dry. I believe it's, I like it like when your car comes through the end of the dryer and the car wash, the automatic car wash. I believe I'm just, that's
doing
what I'm visualizing. Yeah. Like it's just blowing it all down the body.
Yep.
So then I do arm, I'll do my tummy.
Yes.
Then I'll wrap the towel around my back again, but under my arms.
Wow.
Okay. And with a ferocious pressure, this is what I'm like, how could I be getting this wrong? I will drag it down my back. And so that's like absolutely ringing the bell.
What I'm finding interesting there, though, from you is Hamish was describing he's kind of as if he's holding an armchair. His arms are like that.
No, it's tucked under the armpits tight. Mm.
Yes, but
so
I go
with where I've already dried.
But if you've got a crease in your back and you would have to. To hold that, you'd be...
No, but I round the spine.
I was going to say, you round
sure?
the spine.
It didn't look like you were rounding
the spine. I do round
the spine.
Yeah, I'm sitting down, mate. I don't often get dry. I don't dry myself with a T-shirt and jeans on.
Like to me, he's forgetting to round the spine.
You might be, because that's one area.
Not.
If you don't, then it can water can get stuck in the spine.
Yeah,
you know how
I know, mate, about the spine.
So you've got a box gutter.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. And
so
you know, and if you develop your upper traps a lot, then you do have a real
you're
grand
a fit
canyon.
Man at the moment. You've got
I'm rounding the spine, I understand
sure
the physics of the spine. Okay, let's assume I'm not.
Okay.
Maybe that's one area.
So what I do is I go that.
Oh, that's very
that
cartoony.
Flosses.
Like
it is very cartoony, isn't it? That's the sort of thing that Popeye would do.
Yes.
And so he's got one hand, he's flossing essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Using
I've got
the
one
full
hand
towel.
High over the shoulder, and then, you know, like I could, you know, hammering up high and then the low. And that's a floss from behind. That's how I do my back, but I'm doing it dead last.
Interesting. Okay, so then I do that. Then I just simply go into the area I find I'm often surprisingly wet after the shower, even though I'm positive I've dried it, is sort of my ass cheek to top side thigh, the ITB band, if anyone knows where your ITB is.
Yeah.
So I rip down, like, I feel like I'm about to rip my legs off, I dry it so hard. Why? I honestly do that. I think this is where you're going wrong. Hang on, hear me out. Do that, and I'm just like rigorous on the legs. I am so rough on the legs. Get down to the bottom, do my calves, do my feet. Then I go, how could I have missed anything? But somehow I get back to the bed and my side thighs are wet.
Here's the problem.
And I don't know how it's happening.
Hamish was describing again holding the towel as a horizontal band behind his back.
It's bunched.
Yeah.
Rough bunches.
This is where you have to go individual legs.
Yeah, I do.
Well, you were holding that. It looked like you had the towel.
You're not paying attention.
It's almost like steel wool.
Rough that side. And I'm looking at it going, where's the moisture?
Yes.
Get out. Get off me. Because, yeah. Jack, are you the same as your arse and side thigh wet?
I don't bunch, but I always end up coming back to the, under the cheeks. It's like, I know there's still going to be some water there, even though I get down to the ankles, get down to the toes.
I also don't think you have to scrunch the towel as much, guys.
I don't scrunch.
I bet Andy's got like folded perfectly in a brochure.
No.
Fold.
Just use if in a scrunch you might have little gaps in the towel. Just use the towel as the full surface area of it, and then go down there. This is, you're bending over, then you're doing that, right? Mm. When you come back up, that's where you may get a little bit of that hair drip. That goes straight back down the back.
It's sneaking down the
spine. A huge channel that's already
the Grand Canyon.
Full of water because you haven't.
So it's flooding down the spine.
It's an aqueduct.
Do you reckon it's maybe going down the spine in that channel, that hidden valley, then it hits the bum and it kind of it disperses across either side, and that's why I'm getting back to bed and I'm finding the top of my ass and the sides of my leg are wet again.
Try flossing last.
Wow. Could you come over? Coach me. I'd love to see you come over at like 10 o'clock at night. Like, who's that? Oh, and he's coming over to coach me on dry my body.
I'd love to.
Because I keep coming to bed damp. And I am, by that stage, I'm getting angry because I'm like, where are you? How are you still surviving on my body somewhere? Hitchhiking water. Okay.
Okay.
So, come over.
Look forward to it.
And just make sure, when you hear the shower on, do make sure it's me in there. So you're not accidentally offering up coaching to Zoe, who doesn't seem to need it. She seems to know what she's doing.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
And a special skill submission has come to my side of the fence.
HamishandAndy.com, if you're sitting there wondering whether you should submit a special skill.
And as we mentioned before, the emails deliberately get split automatically. It's randomly 50-50. Yep. Some land my side of the fence in my paddock and Sam land in the well ploughed fields of Andy's side of the farm. Mm. And when we find one in our paddock, we will often wander to the fence and go... And Andy will get up from like measuring the millimeters between his emails that he's planted and, you know, come up and then walk over like... go to his hand washing trough, get in his electric farm tractor, drive along the well, like the perfectly manicured driveway that has the exact cambering on the corner to get him around nicely with the lowest amount of energy drain on the battery, and he'll come to the fence and we'll have a discussion like this.
And I'll go, hey, this fence probably needs fixing, doesn't it? Like, you said you were going to do it a while ago.
I think this is a four-wire fence, and I think with correct wire spacing, we could do three, and that would save us on wire costs. And I'll go, yeah, sort it out, mate. I'm going to a barn dance. Anyway, so I've got one here, and as we lounge on the fence, let me throw this at you. His name is Sam, and he got me with a word that I haven't heard for a long time.
Oh.
With a phrase, and that is the phrase fruit ninja.
Oh, you were big on fruit.
Big. So were you, Jacko.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. Jack and I lost a few years of our life, at least 1 year.
At least. One specific moment where we're waiting.
This is an iPhone game, by the way. Sorry. Fruit Ninja. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with it.
Fruits pop up.
Fruits fly into the screen and just using your finger, which acts as a sword, and you can buy upgradable swords. I think Ruby was the strongest sword.
Yep.
You slice the fruit. If you get lots of fruit in one slice, 2, 3, 4, 5 combo, that's worth more points. 7 was miraculous, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Don't swipe a bomb.
One particular incident where we were waiting for, you said you're quickly going to the toilet. We were waiting. We're like, oh, yeah, you should be plenty of time. And after several minutes and the guest had arrived to interview, probably someone like Ryan Quanten from the first series of True Blood, I went back in and you were in the cubicle and you clearly were on a hot streak of Fruit Ninja. Yep.
Because I think it went for one solid minute, but you could feel yourself warming up. Yeah. So you'd often play like 15 games in a row. But we had sensor lights in the toilet and they'd gone off. Right, Andy came in, the toilet was dark, and so like the fluorescents go boom, 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 and come on, and he's like, oh.
He mustn't be in here.
Yes. Because I was in the dark, but I didn't need any other light. I had my screen, and I actually had a theory that the fluoros put me off. So you knew after about 10 minutes when the lights auto went off, you were in the dark, and that's when you really got into the zone.
So is he playing Fruit Ninja still?
He's not playing Fruit Ninja still. Okay. Sorry, got distracted, but he got me. He calls himself the real Fruit Ninja. Mm. He goes, I can perfectly chop fruit or vegetables in half.
Oh.
So much so that each half weighs exactly the same.
A weight-based chop.
That is exciting. That actually wasn't the point of Fruit Ninja. It didn't matter where you hit the fruit.
Yeah.
But a weight-based chop. So I'm assuming what he's saying is he's got an apple. Boom.
Yep.
One side, 81 grams. The other side, 81 grams.
Can we talk to him about this?
160 feels heavy for an apple now that I say that. But maybe, who knows? I don't know what an apple weighs. We've got him on the line. Sam. Ahoy.
Ahoy, boys. How are we doing?
Yeah,
very
great,
good,
Sam.
Mate.
Talk us through this. So do you know, like, say for an apple, are you always cutting it standing upright so you know, obviously, that's the better chance
you're
of getting 50-50?
Yeah, you're going for symmetry?
Or will you do one on its side and pick the point where, you know, say if it's a bit bulbous, like, a pear is a better example, you pick the point along where you can make sure that they weigh, both halves weigh exactly the same?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Thank you.
You know, the spherical fruits and vegetables are a lot easier because, you know, you can just kind of put them on most of their points and you can get them.
Mm.
With an apple, for example, yeah, I'd definitely stand it up on its side. I'd give it a little bit of a study, hold the apple, you know, really, really zone in with the apple. And then look for that best equilibrium point and just chop away.
What fascinates me is a banana because it's got a hat.
Mm.
Always, and the hat is lighter than the ass. So you couldn't go midway along a banana because the piece with the ass would weigh the most, I reckon.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. No, some of the tougher fruits and veggies, you know, banana, carrot, parsnip.
Yeah, because it'd be hard to get it symmetrical lengthwise. He's cutting it, you know, on its side.
Well, I've got a pretty sharp knife at home, which helps.
Right,
Do you have to rest the knife on...
That's what I want to know. I want to know, are you coming down through the air? Is it a chop? Or are you placing the knife on the skin? You get happy with your point, then you apply pressure.
It's a place the knife on. Once it's on, it's not leaving. And then straight through.
Once it's on, not leaving. That's precision.
It is precision. I think it's obviously better, it's more showy to do a full chop, but the, the degree of
giving it a crack.
No, don't do that because I want
maybe a bonus
without how many, within how many grams
Three either side.
Three grams either side. I was going to give you five.
Three grams either side. No, no. I'll tell you what. We'll give you five in the bonus round where you do the chop.
Yeah, the chop.
The chop from where you don't get to rest the knife on the fruit.
Sam, whereabouts do you live?
I live in Melbourne.
Great.
Okay, this is great.
Very cost effective.
We could absolutely get you in cheapest available petrol, which is getting to be a bit more than flights at the moment.
Sam, can we get? I mean, how busy? What do you do? What's your schedule like?
Oh, I'm a sales exec, so I'm on the road all day. So I'm pretty.
We've got a few leads in here. We'd love you to come and look at. What are you selling?
Dulux paint.
Yeah, I can't confirm or deny, but I might be interested in a few litres. So why not come in and take the meeting? And while you're here.
Yeah, how many fruits are we going to put in front of him? Five? He has to get four out of five?
Yep. How do you feel about that, Sam?
Yeah, it's fine with me, boys.
Okay. Four out of five, if you fluff it, you will have a chance at Repercharge with the bonus round where you'll be doing a through-the-air chop and... Not throwing it up, but I mean like knife at head height.
Yes,
boof.
Yes.
Just maybe make sure the knife's got a good grip on it. Don't want
bring
to
bring your own.
Okay.
How much paint do you have in the car? Got room for a knife?
All right, Sam. We'll see you soon.
No worries, boys. Have a good one.
Hey, we've got to get out of here soon, but been requests to play the duping game again from alert listeners at hamishnady.com. When one person says it, we go. Is that just one person enjoying that game, but 98% of people don't? Multiple, we start, our ears pick up, we go, we'll play that again.
People are interested.
If you own something that is valuable, hit us at hamishnady.com. If you don't own something,
this is the next bit. Or if you don't. So I guess that's everyone.
Yeah, that's everyone.
So but you have to enjoy the concept of telling us that you do have something valuable. Like, whose shoe was it we had that always gets me there? Like, I've got, like,
it was a basketball player's shoe. And it wasn't like Jordan's.
It's like Luke Longley. Like, I've got his shoe or something. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
You didn't have it. So you either have or don't have something very valuable. We will chat to you, and your job is to try and dupe us as to whether you have or don't have that item. Haim, you said you wanted to catch us up on something.
I've got an update for you. Ever since getting pretty heavily involved in the salt weapon game, this is with the bug assault, the shotgun that fires normal table salt.
How are you going with yours, Jack?
Not enough flies in winter. Just not enough flies.
That is true. That's, you know, like any hunting season, you have your seasons. Would you...
I honestly walked around for about half an hour with it cocked, ready to shoot, but there was just nothing.
I've also loaded it.
Isn't that a different feeling? You want them back.
I want them back now.
They used to annoy me, but now I want them. It is so crazy. That's how I sell it into people. I go, what if I told you there was a world where you would want flies in the house?
Yes.
And that, I mean, that's your opening pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a dog. Could you put a dog poo in the house? And
I could try of dog poo in the house and leave the windows open
to attract flies. I didn't know why you were saying that.
They say it's good luck.
I was like, why would he shoot a dog?
Yeah, that's a high-risk shot, though. If you're shooting the poo, that would cause some bounce, possibly. Because the more the chamber's filled up with salt, the more powerful the shot is. I mean, they say it lasts 80 shots, but you do get more powerful shots at the the first 10. Anyway, it's just been an absolute... Again, this is crazy. I don't know, did I mention this last time I was talking about the gun? We've been blessed with weevils. Which usually is a pain in the ass. You know, wheat weevils?
Yeah.
How they're in pasta and stuff. And once they're in your pantry, you're like...
Yeah, you basically have to throw out everything again.
And I'm trying to hunt them into extinction. You open the cupboard and normally, like, this was my absolute bane of my life. Yes. Like, ever since share housing and everything. Like, sometimes we had more weevils than food back in the share housing days.
Yes.
But you open it up and there's like 10...
Yep.
Just quietly sitting on the roof of the pantry.
And you go, oh, no.
And you're like, oh, my God, we've got an infestation. Now I just quietly... Go to the gun rack, come back in, absolute mayhem in there. It is just there.
Although when you go to fill up with salt again and there's weevils in the salt.
And then now I'm shooting their comrades with their dead bodies. Pretty grim. Pretty grim. But that, I mean, they are absolute sitting ducks.
Yep.
And you can shoot them out of the air pretty easily too. So my wish for people that are new to the bug assault, new to the salt, the bug killing salt rifle game is pray for weevils. They're a great training insect before you get some of those fast-moving summer flies. I do know what you mean, though, Jack. As we come into spring, though, the flies come back, but they are slower for a few weeks.
Yep.
So So you'll be getting your iron as the flies are getting ready, and then it'll be a great competition over summer. However, since I got in this game, I think people see my Instagram DMs as the one-stop shop to alert me about weapons, novelty weapons.
Yep.
And at first I was like, oh, look, guys, you know, hey, come on, there's more to me than that. But as I was scrolling through the weapons, I thought, is there
more to me?
I wonder if this is all I am, because I love all these weapons that people are sending in.
So what else have we
Marshmallow crossbows.
What?
Simple thing. I got two coming from Canada at the moment. A house, just a normal marshmallow, right? And because it's sort of like it's under the wouldn't it be fun with the kids kind of camping vibe.
Yeah.
It's wasteful for marshmallows. I do acknowledge that. But when you think about how much Nerf bullets cost, and you do seem to lose those somehow.
So it is a soft pellet, isn't it?
Yeah, somehow, as a man that's bought, I would say, over 500 rounds of Nerf ammunition, you're like, where is it in here? We don't play outside.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot find any more bullets.
Yes.
Where are they?
Yeah.
It's just quite amazing where Nerf bullets go. Like, are we going to open an air conditioning vent or something one day? There's be like 800 in there. So the marshmallow... you sort of pull the string back like on a normal crossbow, and it's really just a kind of a clip that holds the marshmallow in place. Press it, gets flung by the rope.
Interesting to see the accuracy of that.
That's what I think too. I don't expect huge accuracy, and it's sort of like I worry, especially with the younger kids. You know, even looking at the picture, I'm like, it begs you to hold your mouth open and try and shoot. It's just asking for that, and it's going to go at high velocities. Yeah. There will be choking. Yeah. So there's probably a whole bunch of instructions on that. But I was like, look, let's get two. Let's see how they go. The other one, and I sort of want to do this as a PSA because I reckon I get 10 of these a day. There's this thing on Instagram on different accounts, like sometimes they're ads and stuff. It's called the Spira water pistol. And you might have seen it's like a battery-powered water pistol. You put the thing in the muzzle in the water, and it like drinks it up,
right?
And it charges it up to 100%, and it's built as the world's most powerful water pistol, right? And so it's like you fire it, and you can hear that it's sort of like battery operated, and it kind of like clunks in there, and
what?
It's like
Hang
blowing
on.
Kids' toys off the patio and stuff on the ad.
So it's an electric water pistol.
It's got some sort of battery in it, I think. Whether it like builds the pressure up and like releases, like it's like a bolt of water that comes out, and it looks ferocious.
Is it fire rounds or is it continuous?
Well, it's just
stream?
Like one. Yeah, you like for I think as long as you depress the trigger, it's like looks kind of like a laser,
right?
Of water that's coming out. So you look at it, and you're like, all right.
You get one of those coming?
Well, I look at it, I'm like, guys, I'm just going to buy anything you send me, right? Like, I'm not just this idiot that just that just falls for I've got. I actually have some self restraint. Like, I'm not just this vessel that will.
How many?
Two. Two, red and the blue. The jewel pack. They ain't cheap. They ain't cheap. I can never tell the kids how much they cost. 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius, only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.